If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College is here. We've reviewed the violence in Brazil, in Ecuador, in Venezuela, off the coast of Colombia and Venezuela and Mexico, Central American states. There is a very good news story that needs attention because it will spill out over many years. It's Argentina. Javier Milei is a colorful, mop-haired chief executive. He's been much on the road these last months, gaining international attention. At the same time, there have been doubts about his ability to hold together his reforms in Argentina. It came down to a vote that the expectation was he would lose in the midterm elections for the legislature of Argentina. This is a country dominated by a coalition called the Peronista Coalition that is committed to statism and grotesque inflation. That has been the result of many decades of purposeful misrule. Javier Milei seeks to reverse that. There are problems, however, and they were to come down on his head on Sunday last. It did not happen. And why it did not happen is going to require careful explanation. But right now, Milei is not only rescued, he's gaining seats in the legislature for his party that's very small. But those seats will help him with so-called reforms. Professor, I want to say this is all good news. There are doubts ahead. Can we explain how it is that the people voted against the polling? The polling showed the Peronistas were going to dominate the legislature and squeeze Milei's reforms out, and he would be troubled by corruption charges. It didn't happen. Do we know why?
Really, John? Well, first of all, polling in general is much more imperfect than we often recognize, especially in Latin America, where people either are afraid to express their true feelings to pollsters and oftentimes just change their mind. We also saw that in Bolivia, before the Bolivian elections, when it was widely predicted that Tutu Quiroga would beat Rodrigo Paz by a substantial margin, and exactly the opposite happened. But here in Argentina, a little bit of the context, where again, Javier Milei and his libertarian party, La Libertad Avanza, won at a level far beyond any expectations. It was expected that his party would lose ground, but in reality, a 35% victory would have been seen as beyond possible expectations. So his party actually gained over 40% of the votes, giving him an impressive legislative advance and a lot of momentum. But the key behind that is that prior to that, and indeed, as we talked about last week, when we talked about how things were not as worrisome as many were predicting, that after a September 7th local election, especially in the biggest province, Buenos Aires, where his party did a little bit less well than expected, markets started to trounce because of the fear that Javier Milei, who has basically turned the country around despite causing a lot of economic difficulty with his cuts in government services and restructuring and tough medicine, that that he could be limited in his power for the rest of his term. And so it was actually the fear that his progress would be limited that led to a market rout. That market rout, of course, led to the U.S., certainly President Trump being a close friend of Javier Milei, that Javier Milei himself has reached out to, essentially the U.S. Agreeing to provide a total of $40 billion with a $20 billion currency swap package and also purchases of Argentine bonds and secondary markets, something meant essentially to calm markets down and prevent an unnecessary rout, given the good work that Argentina had done. And so there's a lot of speculation of that, but the real focus was on these elections, the idea that if he did less well than expected, that would give him less power in the legislature, that would give him less momentum, and essentially the sharks would close in, that the Peronists, who were seen as largely destroying the country through their corporatist populist policies, would essentially come back. And so in many ways, it was Argentina's hope of not allowing that to happen, to the sense that the U.S. and President Trump had expressed strong support and even had indicated that that support was in some ways conditional on Milei continuing in office. And so Milei's ability not only to have turned the economy around, but essentially to have rallied this unprecedented level of U.S. support through his policies, I think really fed into voters' desire to continue that path, even though that path has caused a lot of displacement. So things, and traditionally when polls underestimate, oftentimes because being for the political right is seen as politically incorrect, oftentimes polls systematically underestimate towards the right. And this is exactly what happened here. And so now La Libertad Avanza goes into the second half of Milei's period with a substantially expanded, although still minority, stake in the lower house as well as the upper house. So a total of 80 seats. He picked up 51 seats in the lower house. So with the center-right pro-coalition, that gives him 104 of the 257 seats in the lower house, much better than he had before, versus 99 for the Peronists, Fuerza Patria, among others. It gives him in the Senate a total of 18 seats if you count the pro in the 72-seat Senate. Again, it's still minority, but they're much stronger minorities than he had to work with before, plus a very strong presidentialist system that he has. And so really, it appears that both symbolically and legislatively, his hand has been greatly strengthened to continue on the course, which for Milei has been a course of essentially reducing government regulation, reducing some of the constraints, trying to move towards a more private sector approach, maintaining a strong fiscal discipline, maintaining a convertible currency that allows investment to be attracted in. And so although the hardship will certainly continue from this bitter medicine, but Argentina does seem to be on a continued path for essentially private sector led growth, which is a lesson for the rest of the region, and really also for President Trump, who invested heavily in his friendship with Javier Milei. I think also a victory for U.S. foreign policy in the Americas.
I observe that the surprise in Santiago could be explained. It's a reach with the Argentine election. Here's what happened. There are several candidates for president of Chile, and the one that was said to be doing very well was the communist candidate. It's a young woman. However, the surprise was not only did she not poll well, there are two candidates that identified with the right of center who polled very well. And in the runoff that's coming up, the presumption is one of those will prevail. Is that something that was influenced by Buenos Aires? And I have other examples for Bolivia happened before Buenos Aires. And we have two big votes coming up next year, Colombia and Peru, I believe, maybe others. Oh, Brazil. Is Buenos Aires' reversal of fortunes, is that going to influence other elections?
Well, certainly, John, I believe that this is all part of the same pattern, and that pattern is, for different reasons, essentially a fear of the return of what are often seen as destructive leftist statist policies. So, for example, in Chile, even though in the last elections that they had, José Antonio Kast, the ultra-conservative candidate, actually lost to Gabriel Boric, the current president, this time around, the fact that the lead candidate for the left coalition, Jeanette Jara, is a, you know, formerly a Communist Party candidate, even though she's polling well, what polls show is that in a runoff, likely this time around, they will rally around the rightist candidate, Antonio Kast. But for example, it was the fear in Ecuador of Rafael Correa, the leftist populist coming back there, that in part helped to give the victory to young Daniel Noboa. In Bolivia, it was the frustration with the perceived failures and economic destruction of the movement toward socialism party, the MAS, of Evo Morales and Luis Arce, that led to both of the final candidates, and finally Rodrigo Paz, essentially center-right candidate, being elected. In other countries around the region, again, Argentina, I think we see that as well. It was kind of in part the fear of losing the progress made by Javier Milei that led to that strengthening of him. And it's really remarkable that if you look across the region, you see right now an unprecedented turn to the right or center-right in virtually all of the countries, with the exception of Brazil, where Lula da Silva, now 80 years old and polling 51%, has just announced that he is going to run for the presidency in 2026. And so with the exception of Brazil, which seems to be going in the opposite direction, most of the rest of the region, in the shadows of what happened with the left in the past, seems to be turning to or embracing more right-oriented candidates.
And do we take this as good news or join a parade? Because when I first came to this microphone to talk to you several years past, there was something called the pink tide that was sweeping over the continent. It's a remarkable change in direction. Has this happened before, the cycle, like a sine curve?
It certainly has happened, John, although each time it's a little bit different. But we can recall the euphoria at the end of the Cold War, what Francis Fukuyama called the end of history, when you saw a wave of essentially pro-market candidates and privatizations across the region. And indeed, the pink tide coming to the power was because that turn to the right was seen as not having entirely delivered the goods and benefits that people in the region hoped for. And so you had the soft left in places like Chile and in Brazil. You had more of the hard left in places like Venezuela with then Hugo Chavez. Although it was the perception that the pink tide had led to economic disaster and corruption and other things that led to the ebbing of the pink tide at the end of the 2000s. But then you had essentially what was seen as a second wave of the pink tide in the late 2010s, again, because the wave of governments that had come in after that with pro-market was once again seen as not delivering the goods. And so to me, there is a lesson that, yes, these things are always cyclical, but the key is the degree to which these pro-market governments working with the U.S. and others can show that they can make meaningful progress against inequality, against economic stagnation, against corruption, against public insecurity and other things. And so the common question is to what degree that will happen with this possible new wave of pro-market governments. And if it doesn't happen, where we'll be in a couple years.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College, we're getting a little overwhelmed with good news. We'll continue searching. This is the New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.